game.
4 o'clock hour on a Thursday. John Fricke with you. Dukes of Bell back on Monday. I got Oren and Day-Day, and we're knocking it out today because we got a lot going on ahead of the All-Star weekend coming up here. We'll have a little bit later on in the program. Grant McCauley will jump in. Joe Patrick, in a few minutes, tell us the very latest about what's going on at Flowery Branch. 2 weeks from today will be the Atlanta Falcons' debut for their first day of camp, and our first look at some of the new Falcons in their Falcon uniforms in a camp setting, anyway, to welcome in all the new players. And again, there will be 11 open camps this year. And if you've never been, I think you ought to try and go to AtlantaFalcons.com, go to 90timethegame.com. You know, find, you know, the time and the date that you want to go out there. You know, we'll be out there station wall every day. It's 11 open practices. Go take your, if you've got kids that are old enough that would appreciate it. A lot of fun for the family. If you can go on a weekday, it's just so much better on a weekday because it's so, the weekends get a little crowded. Not going to lie. I mean, you can, the way it's set up out there, you can pack, or in what, maybe 3,000, 3,500, and then it's like, we're at like max capacity. Did you say that somewhere around
there?
What
was there? Was it not last year because they didn't allow fans, but the year before last, it was a Saturday practice where they literally stopped letting fans in because the hill got capacity.
Right. So, I mean, you're looking at, and so get there. If you're going to go on a Saturday or a Sunday, or you're going to go on a weekend day, make sure you get there before it opens, okay? So just pay attention to the times because it will fill up real fast. But during the week, you know, you're good. And, you know, the players sign autographs after. It's really cool to point out the players. And it's fun to watch, and the players kind of play to the crowd a little bit. It's just, and if you've never been there to see it, it's a really cool place. So, I mean, I highly encourage you. And keep in mind that the combined joint practices with the Tennessee Titans, the two that they're going to have that are going to be open to the public, those will be extra crowded. Not just with the media from Nashville because it's right before the preseason game, but I'll be, or Tennessee fans that are going to get a chance in Atlanta to come see their team. But those will be extra, okay? And those are always a lot of fun too, though, because then it's another guy on another team, so they're popping pads. So it's a lot of fun. Let's get into a little bit of football, but the other kind, the college football kind, with the Dog Report.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
Now, normally Connor Riley would be jumping into this program, but he's not here today either, so it'd be up to the three of us to kind of carry you through. And one of the good things about that is that Oren Romaine is the biggest Dogs fan at the station. And when I say biggest, I mean a large individual. He's also the biggest Dogs fan at the station here. Guys, what did you, Data, you were telling me something about how Kirby was doing, they were ranking Kirby, and he was like right there at the top. I was like, yeah, I mean, was that a shock to you when you read it?
No, it wasn't a shock. And I put it on Twitter, actually, and said that, you know, I didn't have any, you know, couldn't really complain about how the list, you know, shook out. And basically you had Kirby again at number one. You had, I believe it was Ryan Day at two. I'm looking for the list now. I thought I sent it to us. I guess I did not. anyway, and so on and so on. Some people took issue with Dan Lanning coming in higher than Kalen DeBoer. And they threw in the fact that, you know, DeBoer's beat Lanning in head-to-head. I think it's he's 3-0 against him. But based on the article, honestly, it looks like they kind of weigh in majority of factors of how these coaches did last year or within the last couple of years, not really their entire careers. So, you know, no surprise that Kirby was at number one.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now he's at number one. I mean, yeah, is there anybody else that you would, Ryan Day? Hell, let's not forget, the Ohio State University fans wanted to fire Ryan Day 2 years ago. You know, I mean, the Notre Dame fans wanted to fire Marcus Freeman before last season. You know, so it's a case where Penn State fans wanted to fire James Franklin before last season. And everybody, of course, wants to fire their head coach. That's just the way I guess it goes. The most important, and did see another story, Oren, you can answer this. Well, the story said that it believed, the author believed, that Colby Young, wide receiver at Georgia, was the most important player on offense this season. And I read that and I went, you know, notwithstanding quarterbacks, by the way. I went, really? Do you think? Because, Oren, would you? Because I went,
no.
No.
I could think of couple of new offensive linemen or the other transfers you have at wide receiver or, I don't know, Gunnar Stockton at quarterback?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of guys who I would put ahead of Colby Young. I'm not saying that Colby Young isn't going to be good, but, yeah, Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas and Dylan Bell, the whole wide receiver core, you know, you mentioned the, but isn't it really Josh McCray? See, Nate Frazier and Josh McCray. Now, McCray is a big, gigantic bowling ball. He's like a Jerome Bettis. Illinois has got a chance to be really good this year, and Brett Bielema knows it. And he was really counting on Josh McCray to be this battering ram of a back that Luke Altmyer could turn to. And then, you know, he accused Georgia of tampering in the transfer and all that kind of stuff. But McCray, forget about all that. It's just him being angry. McCray has a chance to really be a huge addition to a team that, you know, here's an amazing stat. You may not realize it, and I didn't realize it until I read it. Orin, it doesn't surprise me given Georgia last year. You may have been aware of this stat, but it shocks me to say that Georgia ran for 150 yards or more in a game one time last year, once. And that was against UMass. That's shocking.
Because you had inconsistent line play for the majority of the year one. ETN was in and out of the starting lineup being hurt or suspended for multiple parts of the year. And then Nate Frazier had problems holding onto the football. So you had a very inconsistent running game last year for a myriad of reasons.
Which I think this year is going to be, honestly, I think that's the one part of the Georgia offense that I think is going to probably be most improved. I know wide receivers was the big concern last year, but I really think that run game is going to be very spectacular this year. They got that incoming freshman, Bo Walker, again, with Frazier and company. Like, I really think the run
game. And Josh McCray. This McCray dude is, I saw him in the Big Ten. He a load, dude. He's hard to bring down.
Yeah, if that offensive line can do what they're supposed to do, that run game of Georgia is going to be special.
Yeah, so you tell me about the offensive line a little bit, Orin. I mean, you know, Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green and some of the guys that they're talking up about being, you know, future NFL stars. What's your expectation of that line?
I mean, I hope it's better. I hope that the guys that got coming in, like Daniel Calhoun, all those young guys that got a little bit of playing time last year. Because when Georgia was at its best in those two national championship years, on both sides of the football, defensive line, offensive line, they didn't wait. They were the attackers. They went out and attacked the point of attack, so to speak. So it just seemed like last year, line was a bit more passive. So I'm just hoping for a bit more aggressiveness this year from a line who, I mean, they got the bodies, they got the dudes. These dudes have the accolades, but, you know, go out there and be aggressive and attack.
You know, when we get to SEC Media Days, it'd be an interesting question to Coach Smart next Tuesday to say to him, you know, if you have to pick one, the offense or the defense that, you know, presuming that both are going to be improved over last year, but which one has to take the biggest step? Which one has to take the biggest step? I think he might say defense.
Well, Kirby's always going to be a defensive guy.
There's that. But because I had to dig it up right before the show, because I was talking about this on a weekend show, I don't know, a month ago or so. Stats are what they are, but this struck me. That defense last year, I'll just read down this list. Georgia's defense last year, one sack in the game against Georgia Tech, which they could have, maybe should have lost. One sack in the loss to Ole Miss. One sack in the loss to Notre Dame. No sacks in the loss to Alabama. But 5 sacks in the win over Tennessee, and 13 sacks in the 2 wins over Texas. So if that defense doesn't show up and put any pressure on the opposing quarterback, Orin Adede, that team's in trouble.
It's funny because probably the best offensive line they faced last year in Texas was the one that they got them, you know, they were the most attack-oriented, they got the most sacks against. Kirby is a dude who all about pressure, man, all about pressure. And you lost coming into this season. Your best pass rusher, Wilson, went to Missouri, so they snagged a transfer out of Auburn. But I mean, that's where Kirby feels like the games are sort of, I guess, won and lost, or is that pressure, that front seven? Those are the guys who can affect the game the most, so to speak.
Yeah, because you think about that Georgia Tech game, and they couldn't do anything on defense. I mean, it was like, you know, and frankly, Notre Dame, which, if you know, notwithstanding, you know, the whole, got, you know, God help them, that terrible attack the day before the game that had to move the game, you know, Georgia should have been the better team and should have been right back in the national title game, and they just played so poorly against Notre Dame in that game. In my opinion, they were the better team. I don't try to take anything away from Notre Dame won the game, but they just didn't. That was not Georgia's A game, because as you look down this year, again, we're all kind of projecting a little bit. I understand that. There's a reason that Georgia's going to be, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the preseason polls, because of the fact that, and when they do the media poll at the end of SEC Media Days, it will probably come out. So Georgia fans, just be prepared for it. Texas 1, Georgia 2. Just be prepared for that. Don't worry about it and just move on. Okay. It's just the media talking about Arch Manning this and Arch Manning that. Don't worry about it. I mean, Texas is going to be a good team. Don't get me wrong. But Georgia did have their number last year. Look, Georgia's a very good team. They got 5 games that are automatic wins. They got 7 games that are, I don't know, 55-45, 65-35 kind of games, where if they go 5-2 in those games, they're going to be fine. They'll be a 10-2 team, and they'll be right back in what might be the last ever SEC title game. How about that? How about we're looking at the last ever SEC title game potentially? That sounds weird, doesn't it? We're not going to have an SEC title game anymore. That kind of sucks. I mean, I understand it. It makes sense. But we're going to replace the title game. Instead of 1 versus 2, we're going to have a doubleheader of 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5. Okay. I mean, it just sounds bizarre. But that's going to be now, don't get confused. I know rules are changing every year. All right. Any guy out there who's been in a long-term relationship, married, long-term relationship, you know, or you get to a point where you say, you no longer care what the rules are. Just tell me what the rules are. Don't change them all the time. You know, I don't care. I got to that point in one relationship. I don't really care. What are the rules? Just tell me what they are. I just don't change them all the time. Is this the rule now? Is this the rule today? Is this the rule going? Okay, that's college football. It's just like that. The rules are going to change. And so with the 16 team, they're talking about dispensing with any title game. And so this could be the last year of the SEC championship game. How about that? Weird. College football's weird. So, but Georgia's going to be fine. I think Georgia's going to be a really good team. Now, it's going to come down. Really, to me, the Alabama-Georgia game holds an immense amount of importance. I know you got Texas and Florida and Tennessee and Ole Miss and everything else. But that Alabama-Georgia game may be a deciding game as to who gets into the SEC championship game. It may be the game that decides it. The winner of that game may be in the SEC championship game. And that's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be in Athens. So it should be a lot of fun this year. I cannot wait